Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to worship you as your children. We come young and old. We come male and female. We come with different hair colors. We come with different skin tones. We come from different backgrounds. And yet we come as one people, united by the Spirit of God in Christ, to worship you. And so bless us as we do come. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of those times in this past week when we have fallen short and have turned our back on you and have spoken or thought or acted in ways that are not consistent with our profession. And we're thankful to know that you have already washed those things away. And yet we are thankful that we can come each day and each week to seek your face, to seek your forgiveness, and to ask you to continue to bless us and use us in your service. And so we do that today as well. Father, bless us as we've come to worship. Give to each one of us that which you have for us today. May our psalms of praise be sweet in your sight and to your ears. May you teach us from your word. May you hear our prayers and send your speedy answers. And may you build us up together in the fellowship of believers as we worship you, but also as we go forth to serve you in the coming week. Lord, we thank you most of all that we come in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross that we might live, and the one through whom we have everlasting life. And as we celebrate that in the Lord's Supper in this service, we pray that you will use that as a means of grace in our lives as well. So bless us as we come, put aside the concerns of other days, that we might focus upon you on this your day. For we do so praying in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we are going to pick up our reading at verse 26. Today we are taking a week off from our study in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be reading from Matthew's account of the first Lord's Supper. And we will read through verse 46. It says in verse 20 that when evening came, Jesus came together, reclined at table with his disciples. He talks about somebody betraying him. And verse 26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. We'll conclude our reading at that point. Sermon title today is one word, and the word is until. Anybody ever heard another sermon with the title until? Maybe so, maybe not. I don't remember. I've heard lots of sermons over the years. One of the wonders that we all have as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth and in the Word of God is that it isn't the Scriptures are inexhaustible. That no matter how much we see and how much we learn, we never see it all. We never learn it all. And some of you are much earlier in understanding that than some of the rest of us are, depending on the color of our hair, perhaps, and the wrinkles on our faces and other such things. But I can testify, and I know everybody, even older than me, there are some here that have been testifying longer than I, that no matter how much we see and learn from the Scriptures, we're always approaching them again, and we see more and we learn more, and we'll never become the masters of this until the Lord calls us home forever and ever. And so what that means is, at times as a preacher, I've been preaching now since 1981. You can do the math. And if I've been involved on average of 6 communions a year for 30 years, I've not preached at all of those, but at many of those. So you can do that math. 180, is that 180 communion sermons perhaps? Perhaps a few less, perhaps a few more. And you'd think sometimes you run out of material. And I can say there are times that you look and say, well, I've preached about this, about the Lord's Supper. I've preached about that and about that. And I can say I've never preached a sermon on the occasion of the Lord's Supper on the word until. Until today. I was struck as I was preparing and reading, Lord, what might we look at with what we find here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, where Jesus says, But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do we know what that verse means? I put on the bulletin, and you can see them there, the account of that verse that is found in Mark's Gospel. Also in Luke's Gospel, there's no parallel to it in John's Gospel. But the word until in the context of the Lord's Supper is also used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, that passage where Paul gives instruction about this sacrament. And he says in the 26th verse, For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So Jesus is told us at that first Lord's Supper that he's now instituted the sacrament and says that I'm not going to commune with you. And I think we need to understand in the way that he did then while he was still on earth, face to face, person to person, mano a mano or whatever, I don't know Spanish, my wife could tell me what that ought to be. But he says, I'm doing something now that is going to have to sustain you until then. And so the question is, what is that then? And that's one of the reasons I put the five verses and spelled them out in the bulletin. What you'll find there is that they all, Paul's context is a little different, but the gospel accounts all essentially say the same thing. They some of the wording slightly different. That's one of the wonders of the scripture and the absolute authority of the scripture is that we have various accounts of the life of Jesus by different people with different backgrounds, with different perspectives, with different memory capabilities, with different grammatical skills and other things. And each gives an account. While some of the things seem to be, you know, the words aren't exactly the same, they don't have to be exactly the same, but they all convey the same thing. But together they convey more than any one of them individually conveys to us. And so as we think about in Matthew, what is my Father's kingdom? Well, look at what Mark says and what Luke says, and we'll get a little bit more of an idea of those kinds of things. And so we're going to have a sermon titled Until. Until, in English, as it is in other languages, can be one of two parts of speech, or at least it can act in one of two ways. It can be a conjunction. I know some of the little ones don't know what conjunctions are. Probably some of us have forgotten what they are. Or it can also be a preposition or serve in that way. And how do we use until? Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to look briefly at how the Bible uses this word until, and then see if it really jives with the way we think of it, and also see what we might learn from it. So we're going to first of all answer the question, what do these references to the word until have to do with the Lord's Supper? But then secondly, what do these references to the word until have to do with us who have come to celebrate the Lord's Supper? I have a book that I went and grabbed called Young's Analytical Concordance of the Bible. How many of you have ever used the Bible Concordance? I imagine many of us would raise our hands. How many of you have thought it would be profitable to go to a Bible Concordance to look up conjunctions? Like, and. How many of you have ever tried to do a Bible Concordance on the word and, A-N-D? I tried it. Concordances give, usually what they do is they give you some suggestions and essentially say there's too many. The book, we can't make a big book big enough to have all of the references to and. How about the or a or other such things? Well, until, fortunately, is a conjunction type word that has a lot less uses than and or the. So all of the uses are in our concordances. And I took it upon myself. There are two Greek words that can be translated until, and I took it upon myself to look up all of them. There were a few hundred references. And you're only going to get about maybe a dozen or so in the outline today. But those two Greek words essentially have the same meaning. Scholars can talk about different nuances, but really what I found is that as you put these two up against each other, they all seem to do the same kinds of things, whichever of these two words might have been the Greek word in a particular context. But in the Bible, in the Greek New Testament, what do these words mean? Well, the word until, whether it's eos or akri, either of those words are words that, in a sense, have measurement involved with them. Maybe a little, they're used a little more broadly than we would use them. For example, the idea of amount is sometimes used in the New Testament, in the word until. Anybody know about what amount we might be measuring in John 2:7? Well, when Jesus, that's the wine turned into water, the wedding at Cana, and Jesus has the pots brought in, and he says, fill them with water, and they fill them up until the brim. So the it's a measurement of amount. They filled them up. Pastor Stephan preached back in Mark chapter 6, you'll remember when John the Baptist was beheaded, and Herod got himself in some really big trouble with Salome because he made a promise to her. Do you remember what the promise was? It's in Mark 6:23. And it was, he said, essentially, ask whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom. And the word is, until half of my kingdom. It's a measurement of distance in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the idea of distance is, most often this word is used in Acts, because whenever Paul is on his missionary journeys, they don't travel, I mean, the way we do. He didn't go from this city to that city to that city to that city, but he went from this city until that city, until that city, until that city. But in Acts chapter 1, the angels tell the apostles, why are you standing here gawking, looking up? And at that point, they're reminded that what Jesus said to them. He said, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, until the outermost ends of the earth. So it's the idea of this measurement of distance, but it's a measurement of distance that's often used to the uttermost. And we'll see that in some of other references as well. Until is sometimes a word that is used. I came up with the word status. I wasn't sure of a better way to do that. But in Hebrews chapter 8, we have a quotation from Jeremiah 31 about the new covenant. And in the 11th verse of that, says, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, until the least of them to the greatest of them. Or the least until the greatest. And so it's the idea of encompassing some kind of a unit of things, and in this case of people who will come to faith and have the knowledge of the Lord. And this idea of until has completion involved with it as well. Do you remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross in the Holy of Holies at the temple? What happened? There was a veil in there. And that veil, how was it torn? Could you, I'm having ear trouble, but could you say that louder? From top to bottom? No, it's until top to bottom. And there's an idea with until often in the scripture that talks about a completion in the Revelation when it talks about the people who will belong to the Lord. That idea of until the least to the greatest of them. And two, from the east to the west, Psalm 103. As far as east from west is distant, there's an idea of completion with this word as well. And so while there are various measurements, though, the main measurement that until measures is time. And isn't that the way that we normally use it? Until we meet again, Roy Rogers, Dale Evans. Some of you are not yet, not old enough to remember Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Well, no, I'm not going to get into trivia. I'm in the middle of a sermon right now, so we'll try not to do that. But they would sing it, Happy Trails, at the end, until we meet again. And then you knew that would be next week when their show came on for the next time. But anybody know how long it's going to be until Josh Bechtel's next birthday? Oh, it's today. Well, his next one is going to be a year from now. It's a measurement of distance, of time. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, I will not drink this fruit of the vine until that day in time when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus is talking about time when he uses until there. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, when he says, we, as long as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He's talking about time. And that's the way that is mostly used in the New Testament. And I think that's the way it is mostly used for us as well. So it's mostly about time, but most importantly, within all of those references of until about time, it's about the end of time. It is about the Lord's coming. And I put some verses there where Jesus and the Apostle Paul and James and the Apostle John use that phrase that is reminding us that we live in this time of until the Lord comes at the end of the age in His second coming to finally set all things right, to fully and finally establish His kingdom, and to fully and finally make our lives as Christians, lives of suffering, of service, and of sacrifice, worthwhile. Because the promise is in the briefness of this life, we are preparing for the life that will come when the Lord comes again and when we spend eternity in His presence. And so that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew and Mark and Luke in the Lord's Supper. He's establishing this sacrament. He says, but now there's going to be this time. I'm not going to tell you how long this time is going to be. But there's going to be this time when I'm going to go and be with my Father. Now the Holy Spirit will be here and will dwell with you, and the Father and the Son will be with you in the Spirit. But yet I'm leaving you this sacramental supper until I come again. And everything that I've promised you is fully taken care of at the end of the age. And therefore you are to do this in remembrance of me. And so we come today with that goal in the Lord's Supper again to hear Him saying, this is what I've given you to sustain you and to encourage you and to help you and to bless you and to minister you until we are again face to face in the eternal kingdom. And that's why very often the until of the Gospels and the Lord's Supper and the until that Paul is talking about is tied in many, many references to Psalm 110, which we're going to be singing a little later in our service, and that Jesus often talked about that. The Apostle Paul talked about that. The apostles in the books of Acts talk about that. And what are we talking about in Psalm 110? The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That's talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God in heaven right now, the ascended Christ. And how long is He going to sit there? What does Psalm 110 tell us? There's a one-word answer. Hint, it's a sermon title today. Until. Well, it goes on to tell us a little bit more. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. That's the very same until that Jesus is talking about when He promises, we're going to have this supper together again in the eternal age, in the heavenly kingdom, when all of the realities will be fulfilled. But until then, this is what I'm giving you to help you. And do this regularly in remembrance of me. Because we're still in that until the enemies are made a footstool for His feet. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. And the word until in the Bible often marks the eras of God's working with His people, and the completion of God's plans often go from until to until to until. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, we just get done with the genealogy, and it talks about there were 14 generations between Abraham and until Abraham and David, 14 generations, David and to the captivity, 14 generations from the captivity until the Christ. In 11:13, Jesus talking about John the Baptist and what he says, the prophets were until John. What he's saying is, until points to a point in time, and when you reach the point that until comes to, then you now are on a threshold that takes you into a new era of divine revelation in history. And so when Jesus says, until I come, what that means is when He comes, there is going to be a new era of revelation and a new era of God's promises being fulfilled among His people. And so we are in this present age until He ushers in the future age, the eternal age, at the day which He has determined, God the Father has determined, is yet ahead of us. And these uses of until are all about God's promises to us. Jesus is saying, He's encouraging us by saying, I've made promises. I came in the flesh. I'm dying on the cross. I'm going to be raised from the dead to complete some of those promises, but there are some that will not be completed until I come again. And until that time, I leave you with this bread and with this cup and with these promises. And so what do these references to the word until have to do with us? And I just have two quick applications for us, not only for the celebration of the sacrament, but also for our Christian lives. And really, those of you that spend a lot of time in the Salt Light Reformed Presbyterian Church hear these things regularly, and I imagine those of you that don't, and there are some that spend time in other churches, hear them as well. We need to keep our focus on the goal of Jesus until He comes. We need to live our lives with a focus on the fact that that until is coming, that threshold event in history, much like His coming in the flesh to die for our sins, that He is coming again, not to, as the writer of Hebrews says, not to sacrifice Himself again, because He's already done that once for all perfectly, but to receive us into His presence forever and ever. And how do we keep our focus until He comes? Until, as 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, the final enemy will be made a footstool for His feet, will be destroyed. What's that final enemy that Paul talks about there? It's death itself. We still deal with death. The wages of sin still are death. Even those who have partaken in the first resurrection through faith in Christ still are headed to the grave until the Lord comes again. But until He does come, get your concordance, look up the words for until, and you'll find a whole handful of verses that tell us about how we keep our focus on the goal of Jesus until. We love Him, we obey Him, we serve Him, we make Him known, we trust Him, we believe Him that indeed He is coming again and will call everybody to give an accounting for themselves. But those who can't give a good accounting, which is everybody, but those who are covered by His blood will be spared eternal judgment and eternal death and eternal separation from God, and will spend eternity before the throne of God and the Lamb. And then keep your focus on what God calls us to do, you to do as Christians and me, until He comes again. And for that, I make two brief suggestions as we close. The first is Matthew 28:19-20. The word until is there as well, and it ties in very closely with what Jesus says here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you always. How many of your Bibles say until the end of the age? They probably say even to the end of the age or to the end of the age. But the word again is until the end of the age. And if we link Jesus saying until that time, what are we to do? He tells us in Matthew 28:19-20, we are to make disciples of the nations. And that's the work of the church. That's the work that we continue to be about. That is the work that means to go and proclaim the gospel to see people converted to Christ, but making disciples is more broad than that. It's growing and nurturing and learning, and it's a lifetime process to be a disciple of Christ. And so our job is to preach the gospel to the lost, and it is to make disciples of the saved. And how long is the church going to keep doing that? One word answer is the sermon title today: until the Lord comes again. And secondly, Paul grabs hold of that same idea in what we will read in a few minutes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are to continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May we live in the shadow of that coming. May we be encouraged as we remember what Jesus has done for us and the promise that he's made that he will be with us until that day, during all of the days in between. Amen. Father in heaven, we do thank you for guiding and directing us, blessing us and keeping us, and giving us work to do to proclaim the crucified and risen Christ until the end of the age. Father, we are thankful that you have put us at this point in history and in this place and the other congregations which are represented here to be salt and light, to be those who are concerned with carrying out your instructions and command to make disciples of the nations, until the east to the west. And Father, we pray that we may faithfully do that, and that as we do so, you will bless us and keep us. We ask that you will care for each of us in our own individual needs. Father, those needs are many. And so we pray for one another and for ourselves, for the needs of health. We pray for our needs for employment and for material welfare. We pray for our spiritual needs, that we might truly be growing each day in our knowledge of your word and in our relationship with your Son. We pray that you will bless us and keep us and help us as we deal with other needs that we have. Lord, we pray for those relationships which are strained or broken that each one of us has with loved ones and with others. And we pray that you will help us to do that which you call us to do, to show your love and to minister to others, that those strains and those broken relationships might be mended. And we pray, Lord, that you will care for any other needs. Lord, some need fellowship and companionship. Some need things that seem to be far beyond what can be done, and yet we pray to you, the one who does exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And so we pray that you will provide and care for all of our needs as you have promised, and that you will do that until you call us home into your presence, or until you come again to take us home. Father, we ask you to continue to watch over your church, and we pray for us here in our churches in Colorado. But we also remember the congregations of our denomination and others that are around the world. We particularly remember the church as it is laboring and suffering in Africa and in Asia and in other places. We pray for that Iranian pastor who is under a death sentence because he will not renounce his faith in you. And we pray that you will bless him and keep him, and that you will remind him regularly that you will be with him even until the end of the age. And Lord, may we remember that as well. So hear these our prayers. Help us to go forth and to serve you as we ought in the week to come. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.